The Spotlight. Join us on The Spotlight, the program that highlights the inspiring journeys of UN volunteers across South Sudan. Discover their challenges, their achievements, and the impact they are making in the communities across the country. Tune in every Friday at 1 p.m. with a repeat on Sundays at 8 p.m. only on Radio Mirror, the voice of peace. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Spotlight program this afternoon. My name is Samora Lukombo, and I will be here with you and with yet another guest this week in this episode. Our guest today is a young Msotho, 33 years old, working with the United Nations volunteer from Lesotho, known as the Kingdom in the Sky in South Africa. Oh my God. She holds an associate degree in journalism and media and currently serves as a team leader of the communications and public information at the United Nations Mission Field Office here in Taurit, Eastern Equatoria. As we say in South Sudan also, the land of the wise. That is Eastern Equatoria, of course. Now, she herself as someone who enjoys writing, painting, and spending time in reflection. Now, before joining the United Nations mission in South Sudan, she worked as an investigative journalist dedicated to exposing wrongdoing and defending human rights. Welcome, madam. Please tell us your name.
Thank you so much for the warm welcome. My name is Matisse Tsomasala. As you've mentioned, I come from a country in Southern Africa called Lesotho. That is the Kingdom in the Sky. Thank you so much for having me, and hello to your listeners.
Wow. Good to have you as well. Now, tell us, when were you first posted here? When you were being posted here, actually, what was the first thing that came in your mind?
So I first came here in South Sudan in January. The very start of January 2025. And when I arrived here, I was welcomed with a very, very, very hot weather, which is very different from home where I come from.
January, typical.
Yes, we have temperatures that can go as low as minus 10 in the winter season. So having been welcomed with that heat was something very different. And it was a mixture of emotions, nervousness, being in a new environment, and also at the same time, excitement of a moment that I had worked towards, a moment that I had hoped would come to be, and I was finally here embarking on this journey that would challenge me and teach me. So it was a mixture of emotions, but largely good.
Interesting. While you were hoping to come here and you're already preparing to get here, did you get any orientation about the country, or did you research on South Sudan?
As I was preparing my own boarding, there was a lot of education and information regarding South Sudan as a country, the do's, the don'ts, and everything that I needed to know before I could come, and the things that I needed to expect. And from my side, in terms of researching, I did very minimal research, especially on the duty station that I would be serving in, because for one, I didn't wanna know too much, because I wanted to leave a room that would be able to accommodate everything that would welcome me as I get there. So I didn't wanna over research what goes on exactly. I just did very minimal. Population, the languages, how the people do, and those minimal things, and nothing too hectic that would perhaps discourage me from coming. That is how I basically prepared to come.
Okay, interesting there. How has it been for you working very far away from home?
I think it has been one of the biggest challenges that I have had to face, honestly, because I had never worked away from home for over a month. Yes, there are times that I would travel from my previous work and it would just be like 2-3 weeks at most, and then I would go back home. So now, coming here for what we didn't know when I would get to come back home, because some of the information you only learn when you're actually in the place and not prior. It was a bit troubling, but I think we are now in a place where we are able to cope with my family back home and make this long distance relationship work. And that refers to my mother, my father, my siblings. We video call all the time. So we are now in a place where we cope better, because when I arrived, I was struggling to sleep. I was not eating properly. I remember this one time I even went to the clinic because I was feeling sick. And the doctor basically made me realize that I wasn't physically sick, and therefore he could not prescribe me any medication. He just told me that I needed to reflect and deal a bit better with the separation from family and I would be okay. So those are some of the things that helped me adapt and cope better with being away from home and family.
Quite very difficult moment for you there. How did you try to approach any person from the locality or from the same country, where probably a country person that probably could be also from Lesotho or South Africa that could help you settle in?
That was one of the tricky things. I think I only met one person from my country, and she was stationed in Juba while I was coming to Torit. So still there was that bit of distance, even though she was from my country. But other than that, I tried to find people that are from my region as well, Southern, that is people from Botswana, Eswatini, who I could relate better with being from the same region. And I think that really helped me in trying to also get to know my colleagues better here, make friends. So that helped me a lot to create those connections and friendships with people that we share the same interests, we are from the same region, while getting to know other people from all the other regions of Africa.
Still difficulties?
No. I'm now having the time of my life. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is a bit of an exaggeration, but I think I've settled quite nicely. I have built connections within my duty station. I now have friends, people that I can share dinner with, and as well with the national colleagues, there are people that are now my friends, whom as well we can share meals with, the local meals. And now it's not as difficult as it was when I first arrived, when I couldn't even go to the local cafeteria to try the food, the local cuisine. But now I settled in nicely.
MashaAllah, that's very good for you. What best three things have you done so far as a volunteer in South Sudan?
Okay. I think one that I can point to was the time when I got to facilitate a training on the presentation of the UNMISS mandate, which is one of the things that my position comes with. And another one is ensuring on a daily basis that there is effective information flow from our field office to Juba, to headquarters, and through all the other information platforms, your Radio Miraya. And I have also had the pleasure of interviewing and engaging with the youth here, the local leaders, women leaders, civil society groups, the members of the state government as key partners to UNMISS and its mandate. So, those are some of the things that I find to be the best since
my arrival. Sound quite a lot there. And how easy or difficult has it been for you to maneuver and achieve these things you've just mentioned?
It is not always easy. For one, I would point to the language barrier in some instances, especially when we go out into the community, the payams, where not all of the people can speak English, which is what we mostly communicate with. And as well, the volatile security situation that is ever changing has been one of the not so easy moments, but those are some of the things that in turn make it worth it that despite these barriers, the challenges, we are still able to work and contribute and do our work as admins personnel to the communities that we have come here to serve.
Great. You are listening to The Spotlight. My name is Morolo Kumbo, and I'm having a young lady, a UNV, who is stationed at Torit, in Torit, UNMISS field office, Mati Setso from Lesotho. And she's here with me sharing with us her experience in regards to her service here in South Sudan in this mission now. Madam, Mati Setso, what should one consider when venturing to the UNV service?
Just one quick one before I get into responding to that question. I think you are one of the very few people that have pronounced my name correctly, because we have settled at Mati, because it's a bit more less tongue-twisting for some people. So yeah, and sorry for that. Could you repeat the question for me again?
Yes, I just said that what should one consider when venturing to the UNV service, like you did, Benja, when you are considering to move into this service? What did you consider? What did you put in your head?
So yes. I think one of the things for me, or that I think people would consider venturing into or putting themselves in line to be UNVs, is selflessness, for one. I mean, if you're going to become a UN volunteer, one thing is that it should not be about you. You should be willing to contribute to something that is larger than you, yourself, and be willing to contribute towards something that is meaningful. And for me, that was taking the decision to dedicate my time and energy into supporting communities that are in most need for their development to reach the peace that the people of South Sudan so desire to have. So selflessness, putting other people first, and just the will to service others over yourself.
Wow, interesting there. You're still a very young lady, and a lot of people possibly could be moving into the UNV after they have achieved something, and they just go to give to others at that point. But has serving in the UNV changed your life in any way so far?
Oh, yes, it has changed my life in ways that I didn't think were possible. Because one, I didn't know I was this resilient. I didn't know that I could adapt so easily to a different environment. And I didn't know that I could contribute. I think that is the biggest thing for me. But even with the previous work that I did, it was still very much rooted in service to communities that were in need. And I learned, I think just after I completed my degree, my university life, that this was the path that I wanted to take. Because as you say, yes, some people wait a little longer to get into volunteering because they have gained so much and now are in the position to want to give and contribute to communities other than themselves. So for me, I didn't know that I would blend in so nicely with people that I hadn't met before. I didn't know that I could collaborate on a level that I have collaborated with the partners in this state, the Eastern Equatorial State. And I had always considered myself to be a team player, but the value of collaboration that I have learned working here.
We're going to take a musical break. So that brings me to a question: that do you like listening to music? And which genre, if you do?
I do love listening to music, although there is not a specific.
So, what would you then love for now?
I'm called This Is Me by Demi Lovato and Joe Jonas. This is a song that I grew up listening to a lot from the Disney time growing up. I remember my sisters and I had this song lyric to lyric, and we would always just listen to it and be happy. But why it, I think it still speaks to me to date, because it talks about coming out of your shell, chasing your dreams, embracing who you are, and being unapologetic about it. So I love it to date.
So is that what has motivated you to do what you're doing up to this moment, up to South Sudan, all the way from there?
Actually, yes, yes. Yeah.
I've always been the kind of girl that hid my face, so afraid to tell the world what I've got to say. But I have this dream right inside of me. I'm gonna let it show. It's time to let you know. To let you know. This is real. This is me. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be now. Gonna let the light shine on me. Now I found who I am. There's no way to hold it in. No more hiding who I wanna be. This is me. Do you know what it's like to feel so in the dark? To dream about a life where you're the shining star. Even though it seems like it's too far away, I have to believe in myself. It's the only way. This is real, this is me. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be now. Gonna let the light shine.
Great, Matty, there. Thank you very much for that song. We continue with the spotlight here on 101 FM Radio Miraya. My name is Moro Lokombo, and today we're having young South African, most specifically from Lesotho, and she's chasing her dreams all the way from Lesotho up to South Sudan. You can look at that distance, miles and thousands of miles. Now, let's go to why you really joined the UNV service. Why?
I think similar to what I alluded to a bit earlier, why I joined the UNV service was wanting to be challenged beyond my country, to contribute to a global goal, to support communities in a different setting. Because as I said before, that my previous work was still rooted in service, but I was at a point where I felt I had done my bit, I had done my part, and I had seen the impact that I desired to see. So now it was time for me to do that on a bit of a global stage, but still supporting communities. And I want opportunity to work with diverse teams and learn from people from the different walks of life, for both my professional and personal growth. So that is why I basically joined the UNV service.
Wow, interesting there, expanding there. Now, let's come back to when you first landed in South Sudan. What surprised you the most?
Okay, my country is quite small. Okay, we are a population of about 2.3 million. Yes, it's quite small, I know. So, when I first arrived, there were so many people. Just at the airport, there were so many people. And I, just from that onset, I was like, oh my gosh, what had I gotten myself into? But then I was welcomed by our colleagues and then driven to the UNMISS compound camp and then went straight to the UNV office where I finished my registration. And I met people from just in one room, people from, I think it was four countries. Then I was like, oh my gosh. So this is how it feels. Now these are the people that I'm going to be working with. So it was exciting. It was largely exciting, I must admit.
Did you feel anything very negative apart from that? Was it part of it?
Honestly,
apart from the weather, of course.
No.
Definitely the weather was nasty at that time. It was hot.
Yes.
That was most annoying.
It was not negative. It was not negative, but it was intimidating. So I'm very short in height. And when I arrived, I basically needed to step on something to be able to communicate on an equal level with people that I met here. South Sudanese people are very tall. Okay. So that was intimidating, not only tall, but very tall.
If you say that South Sudanese are very tall, that means you're very short as well.
Let's not even get into the exact numbers, but that was one thing that shook me to say, oh my gosh, these are the people that I'm going to be working with daily. How am I going to be looking up each time I have to speak? But I came to learn that it's not everybody who is that tall. So, yeah.
I'm sure you found someone shorter than you in Torit.
Oh, yes. Yes, please. I am no longer the shortest person. I am no longer the shortest.
Okay. What was your first moment of serving as a volunteer? This could be something that you did in your work, in your community, or back home, or wherever, even now.
Okay, this one takes me back to when I first started, I think. And I was part of the people that were covering a story where a community had been affected by some blasting works that were done by a company that was constructing a road nearby. And they had grievances that the company had just damaged their houses, the farms that they had planted crops on, because now the rocks had deposited on those farms, their roofs were destroyed and stuff like that. And at this time, I was fresh from school, so I didn't know a lot of tricks. And the thing that stayed with me at that moment was, in as much as we were just there to take their story, which of course we would publish with the hope that the powers that be would intervene and the construction company would take the accountability to repair and perhaps compensate those communities that they affected with their works. It was the hope in their eyes and in their voices as we spoke of how they wanted us to help. They wanted immediate solutions, and the immediate solutions for them would be repairing their houses and compensating them for all that they had lost in their farms. And that is not something that we were in the position to do, but that was not entirely our job. Our job was basically to listen to them and take their grievances and put them out there so that they may find or get the justice that they desired at the time. So I think that is the one thing that still sticks to me, that volunteering is not very easy, because at times you have people, I mean, rightly so also, you can understand the positions that they are in, who expect that you bring them immediate solutions, but that is not necessarily the case. So, yeah, that's the one thing that
for
I
you,
can point to.
For you as a person, did it change your life? Did it impact on you in any way? That situation, that time, that moment?
Yes, I think it is one of the contributing factors to wanting to do more or contribute more meaningfully. Because at the time, in as much as there was not anything that I could do for them beyond what I had gone there to do, it influenced how I did things from there, trying to contribute differently, and even in my work, trying to ensure that in my writing, we try to influence policy changes that would favor the people and just better the people and not have them hard done. And in essence, it is what has brought me here to still strive to contribute more meaningfully to communities that need it most and develop them in a manner that will leave them in a position where they're able to stand tall and be proud that this is the country that we strived for and there are people that came here to help us reach that goal.
Well, you're listening to the Spotlight right here on Radio Mirror. And today you're listening to that voice from a lady who is in the field office of the United Nations Mission in South Sudan for CPIO, or the Public Information Communication there in Tourette, and she is the team leader there. You could have had her once or twice on Radio Mirror or reporting from there as well. And today she is featuring here on our UNV a slot of Spotlight this afternoon. Mati, it's yet another chance for you to get yourself a song. Send it back home, send it to anyone you love, or dedicate it to yourself. What do you do there?
Okay. I'm going to dedicate this one to myself and to everybody else that is working hard, that is striving to achieve their dreams, that is striving to be better people. And this is a song by Zonke. She is an artist from South Africa, not Lesotho, but South Africa. And it's called Reach It. I think this one speaks to me in the sense that it's not always easy, but as long as you wake up every day, do your best, leave everything to God, you will reach it. So that's my second song.
Great there. Great dedication there to keep you moving and to keep the wheels moving on.
Yeah. a thought just crossed my mind. Who am I not to be? 'Cause I'm ready. Will you be there for me?
Yes, there you go. And as we continue, and as also we're going to all towards the end of this edition of Spotlight today, how does the prospect of being a volunteer in often hard conditions suit you? For example, where you are in Toronto, say sometimes there is language barriers, and sometimes there are no proper roads, infrastructure, weather challenges, and stuff like that.
One thing about me is I like to be taken out of my comfort zone. So all of those challenges are, at the end of the day, what make me want to do this more. Just the idea of doing more or doing much with limited resources or challenging roads, network challenges, remote locations is what makes it meaningful and continue, persevere to still continue doing more. And it is in those places that are, say, hard to reach where you find that our contributions as UNVs is mostly needed, and that is where that same contribution is most valued. And individually or personally as a person, that is where you find that you grow, because if you keep working in or around your comfort zone, then you are not getting challenged. And for me, I think that is one of the reasons why I took up this service. It was wanting to be challenged, because I don't believe in doing things the same way every day and not having anything to work for or do that is not necessarily easy. So those challenging or difficult things that you may find that make it sometimes difficult to do our work is the very things that challenge me to want me to do them even more.
Wow, interesting there. I am not surprised. Anyway, you are a journalist, so I am hoping that you are in the right place, actually. Now, having spoken about you being taken off from your comfort zone, yes, I'm going to do that right now. And I'm going to take you, imagine you are stranded in a desert island. What luxury would you take with you there?
Oh my gosh. I have never been to it. Yes, you got me there. You got me there. I have not been to any desert island, not even the Namibian deserts. But if I were to be stranded in one, yes, I would want to take my phone. My phone. That is hoping. That is, no. I have a very good explanation for that. That is hoping there's network connectivity, of course. I am not somebody that likes to stay in the dark under any circumstances. Like, I like to know what is happening around me. So if I have my phone, I'll be able to see what's making the news, what is happening, like be connected with reality somehow. So it's not to be on TikTok or anything like that. It's just to be connected to reality, to see what is happening around me so that I'm not completely in the desert and in the dark about what's happening.
Yes, no food, no nothing, internet with your phone. That's enough for you there in the desert island. Okay, moving forward here. Now, who are the people that have been so influential in your life?
That's an easy one. That would be my mother. My mother is...
It depends.
Has been
it
the depends. Greatest... yes. But my mother has honestly been the greatest influence in my life. Like, she is retired now, but I used to watch her wake up every morning, put on her uniform and go to work. And she would always preach hard work. And I have come to learn as I grow up and as I become an adult that indeed if you work hard and put your mind to achieve, then they can definitely happen. So that is one of the things that I have carried to me to date. every morning, even when I don't want to wake up, I have that picture of her waking up every morning and I get out of bed and do what I have to do. So that would generally be my mother, even in different aspects that are not professional or work-wise, but personally as well. She has a heart of gold and she has also influenced me in trying to just do everything to support people, do things for people that need them. So, yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Now, you've come miles away from your family to work at a very tender age. Do your family support this idea when you said, guys, I'm going very far away to work?
They still think I'm crazy, but they do support me. I remember when I broke the news, firstly, that I had applied for this position in South Sudan, they were like, what were you even thinking? And I'm like, I mean, let's see. It's not like it's guaranteed that it will happen. I just did it. So, and then it actually happened. And I was like, guys, I'm going.
That's happened.
And one thing that, yes, it has happened. And I'm going to South Sudan. My mother wanted to panic, my father as well, but my mother's face, she quickly remembered how I would always come home from school and even as I was working and be like, hi folks, I'm relocating to a different country, so prepare yourselves, I'll be leaving soon, which was not the case at that point. I was just sometimes joking around, sometimes just putting it out into the universe. That is something that I want to do, and it eventually happened, and they have been very supportive, I must say. They have been supporting me all the way and cheering me on that, you can do this, you can do this.
Interesting. Now, talking about the support you're getting from your family, now where you're working now, how much support do you get from the local community where you're serving?
The local community is very supportive. Like, coming here, of course, you have your own ideas how things would be, but you actually get into the field and find out that things are not as you thought they would be. These communities are the very communities that have experienced these hardships that you think they wouldn't be the welcoming people that you meet every day. They wouldn't be the hopeful people that you interact with every day. So, honestly, the relationships that I've built with the community here has been very good. It's connections that are built on mutual respect and trust, where we learn and engage and try to come up with concepts that strive to make this state, Eastern Equatoria, as well as the larger South Sudan, a better country. And I think it's been working. It's been working.
Wow. Now, what would you have been if you didn't become what you are now?
I would have been a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I am somebody that likes. At some point in life, you know, life has a way of dealing with you, but then you choose a different path. But that said, I still have the hope of still becoming a doctor one day, because I like taking care of people. I like ensuring that people are comfortable, people are taken care of. And for me, being a medical doctor, I had for the longest time growing up been the one thing that I wanted to do. So who knows? I might just surprise you and become a medical doctor at
Please
some point
do
in
so.
Life.
I can't wait. Good luck, though. Now, are you happy so far with your current progress, whatever you're working, whatever you've achieved up to this moment since you started this career?
Honestly, I think I am on the right path. So, yes, I am happy. I think I am doing things that I would look back on later on in the years down the line and be okay, I did good because I dedicated my time and energy to serving and supporting communities that needed most. And I have challenged myself beyond my wildest dreams. So, yeah, I would definitely say I am sitting here proud of what I have achieved and I am achieving here. And I hope to do more of it going forward.
What would you give yourself out of 10?
Out of 10, mm-hmm. I would give myself a solid, okay? I mean, it's just a half a year that I've been here. So mm-hmm. I would give myself a solid 7.
7 out of 10.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a big one, though. 70% for what?
Yeah,
that's very interesting there. Great. As we go to the end of this edition of Spotlight, with me is Mati Setso, who is from Lesotho, and she's sharing her experience as a journalist as well here in United Nations Mission in South Sudan, based in Torit Field Office. And finally, just before I go, and before I give you a chance for the last song for the day, every guest on the Spotlight is given a chance to choose a book. Which book would you like to read in the field or assignment?
Are you giving me this book, Moro?
No problem. Make a mention. We'll find it. You can send you a soft copy.
Okay. Okay. The one book that I would like to read at the moment is mm-hmm. Stillness is Key by Ryan Holiday. This is a book that was introduced to me, I think, about a month ago by a friend who actually wanted me to help him get a copy of this while I was out mm-hmm. on leave. Mm-hmm. And when I read it up and I saw what it was all about, I was sold. Because mm-hmm. field offices can get very quiet at times, but there's also so much noise that goes on. The pressure to perform, mm. adapting, the mind is also on its own journey.
Homesick.
It becomes very necessary. Yeah, yes. Mm. So it becomes very necessary to take a step back and reflect. And this is the one book that I would like to get my hands on right
Great.
Now.
Looking forward to that. And basically with that, definitely we have come to the end of this afternoon's edition of Spotlight. However, my offer still on the table. Which song would you like to close the program with?
This one is an easy pick. I'm taking it back home with Tshepo Tshola, the late Tshepo Tshola, may his soul rest in peace, the village pope. And mm-hmm. the song that I'm requesting is Hulukile, which means it is well.
Wow. We'll try to look for that. I'll find somebody from South Africa to find me that song. I'll definitely get it.
Please.
I said so. Thank you so very much for speaking to us today in the Spotlight. And we wish you the best of the rest of your time as you volunteer in South Sudan, most specifically in Torit in Eastern Equatoria.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great there. That is Mati Setso there in Torit, speaking to us on the UNV program Spotlight here on 101 FM Radio Mirror. Have a good one there. Until we meet again in another edition, bye-bye for now. My name is Moro Lukamba, and this is Radio Mirror. Good day.
I can't be